Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
And Ephesians chapter 3 is full of some wonderful scripture, all right? It's scripture that gives us insight. It gives us power and things of that nature. And if you've never fully read, the book of Ephesians, read it. If you've specifically never gone through, take the time this week at some point and read Ephesians chapter 3, and I guarantee that it will begin to minister and bless your heart. But when we begin to talk about Ephesians chapter 3, what happens is most often what we focus on in that chapter is drawn to kind of give us or bring attention to the fact of that it is the power of God at work in us, all right? Normally, when you hear Ephesians chapter 3 being referenced, it is that famous passage of scripture, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, that says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." How many have ever heard that scripture before? You see, we've heard it, we've quoted it, we've learned it in Sunday school, all right? And how many would believe that that is a very influential and powerful passage of scripture today? And a lot of times our focus, again, is drawn to that element of God's power working in us. And how many are thankful today that God's power is alive and it is working within us as individuals and within us as the body of Christ, amen? You see, again, we look at that, we hear it, we read it, and we like the exceeding abundantly above thing, don't we? Because that sounds really, really good. Exceedingly abundantly above. We like that because it talks about great measure and great potential. And so we like that, all right? And we like the according to the power that works in us. Because how many knows we want to be strong, right? How many of you are like, well, you know, I want to wake up today and I want to live my Christian life without the power of Christ working in me? I think today I'm going to set it to the side and see if I can do better on my own. That's not really our approach, right? We want the power of God working in us, all right? So we take those things from that scripture and we really begin to devour them because they sound amazing. They sound great. And don't get me wrong, that is great, correct? That the power of God working in us could basically supersede anything we could ever think of. And for some of us, that's like, yes. And for some of us, that's like, I don't even know if that's a real thing. You see, this morning, I believe that God does want to do what he is able to do. And that is the exceeding abundantly above by the power that he is living in us. I believe that, and I think that is great this morning to know that the very power of God can be at work in our lives, overcoming and accomplishing things that we could, again, only begin to dream about. And then as we begin to be able to dream it, he says, I can do more than that. He says, I can go beyond that. Everything that you can think of, everything that you can conjure up within your heart, your mind this morning, I need you to understand that I can go beyond that. You see, these words, exceedingly abundantly above, according to the power that works in us, these things are comfortable, they're encouraging, they're hopeful, they're exciting, they're empowering, right? And so again, we like them. But how do we get there? How do we get to that part? What is it that precedes that, that we need to understand in our lives? Because again, some of you this morning would say, but I don't feel that this morning, Pastor. I don't feel like my life is experiencing the exceedingly abundantly above thing. Like I feel like I'm a barely scraping by thing this morning. I don't feel like the power of God is at work in my life. You see, some of us, if we were honest this morning, that's what we would really say. So how do we get there? How do we get to that exceeding abundantly above? How do we get to where we know and we can experience the power of God at work in us? How do we get to the place where we ask God to meet a need or answer a prayer and he supersedes all of our expectations when he responds? Because how many knows he's willing and wanting to do that? So how do we get there? How do we get to the place where we're experiencing not just his presence, but his power in our lives? You see, this morning, I believe that we have been experiencing his presence. But how many know we also want to experience his power in our lives? Amen? So how do we get there? I think there's an important word in verse 20 that probably most often is just overlooked. And it's not that it's a special word with a lot of deep meaning or anything like that, because the word is just simply now. I want us to go back. It says, now unto him that is able. Everybody say now. Tiny, little, three-letter word. But you see, that tiny little three-letter word is very important. By using that word now, Paul was clearly referencing something that was previous in his statement or what had been spoken before what we read as verse 20 today. You see, by using that little word now, what was happening was Paul was drawing our attention back to a previously mentioned thought with strong emphasis because of its importance. And so this morning, I want us to understand what that now is referencing so that we can now live in that exceeding abundantly above and allow the power of God to be at work in our lives. Amen. So I want to take you to verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to kind of reread this morning, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation for you this morning. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray, everybody say pray. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, everybody say, my faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power, everybody say, his power, constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Now, maybe that was a mouthful for you this morning. I hope so, because I want you to chew on it. There's a lot in there, and again, there's more than what we're going to discover and discuss this morning. But as I began to read that passage of scripture actually last week, I felt the Holy Spirit just say, hey, write that down. And so I wrote it on a sticky note and I set it to the side. And when I came into work Tuesday morning, it was kind of like the Holy Spirit said, grab that sticky note. And I grabbed that sticky note. And so he said, I've got a few things that I want to show you. And so I want to, again, take what I believe he has laid on my heart here in Ephesians chapter 3 and bring that to your attention this morning. Because again, how many knows it would be amazing to experience the exceeding abundantly above? It would be amazing to experience that power of God that works in us. He said his power is at work in us. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So I want us to go back. And if we go back, I want us to begin again in verse 14. It says, so I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. You see, before we can get anywhere near that element of experiencing the exceeding abundantly above, before we can understand how that power that is in us works in us, we have to first pray for revelation. We have to have something inside of us that says, hey, I need to understand more of who you are. So my first point this morning is that we need to pray for revelation, all right? Because for us to pray for revelation, what we're saying is, God, whatever it is in your word that I need out of it today, please help me to understand that. How many understand that revelation brings wisdom, it brings knowledge, it brings understanding? And how many knows if we don't have those things, it's going to be hard to grow in our walk with the Lord? So we need revelation. We need it from his word. We need revelation of his will. We need revelation of his glory. We need revelation of his ways. We need revelation of how the enemy is trying to work against us. Amen? How many knows that the Bible even tells us, hey, be wise in what your enemy is doing? You see, we need revelation, but what we've, I think, settled for is just sometimes reading. Well, I opened my Bible app, Pastor. I got 7 out of 7 days this week. But what did you learn? Did you pray for revelation? Because how many knows if we're not praying for revelation, we'll just be reading. And how many knows reading is good, but how many knows what we need is revelation? Amen. And I believe that the word of God is alive. Amen. The scripture tells us that it is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even between the dividing of our soul and our spirit. You see, that's powerful this morning. And what it has, we need. So we need to be praying on a daily basis for revelation in our life. Say, I'm gonna pray for revelation. You see, and when we begin to pray for revelation, what we need then is to understand that as we pray for that revelation, what that will do is it will begin to allow certain things to be released in our lives. Everybody say, released. If we look back at verse 17, it says, then, all right, because we have prayed, then, everybody say then, by constantly using your faith, P.S., constantly use your faith. How many knows how many have ever had a particular skill, a trade, a craft, an ability, and you maybe chose not to practice that for a while. And then you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. And then you go to perform and all of a sudden you fumble. Only me, okay, that's cool. Well, it happens to me sometimes, like, you know, even in something simple like riding a bike. Because it's as easy as riding a bike, right? Unless you haven't ridden a bike for 7 years and you've gained 100 pounds. And then somehow your body doesn't remember how to ride a bike right. You laugh. You see, if we're in a position in our Christian walk and we have a skill set that we have been given, but we haven't been using it properly, how many knows we may fumble? So we don't want to be fumble. We want to be stewards of the word, right? Studying to show ourselves approved and able and to accomplish what God has given us, amen? So it says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. Everybody say released. You say, it says, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. That word, as we find it released in the King James and New King James, actually says, may dwell. Everybody say dwell. You see, and basically what that means is divine power or influence begins to dwell in your soul. What it references is the fact that Christ takes up in our hearts full residence by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, how many believe this morning that we are the temple of God? Amen. And he lives and he dwells inside of us when we receive Christ as our Savior. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. You see, we have to remember that we are the housing place for the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and 11 even confirms further. It says, but the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And how many knows if the Holy Spirit had the power to raise Christ from the dead, And now he's living in us that same power as we're reading in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. He says it can work in us. But you see, if we're not experiencing revelation that leads us to a position where those things are being released in our lives, again, we're going to be experiencing a disconnect because there were some words that were associated with this may dwell. When I began to look it up, one of them was this. It means to govern. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, all right, is to be released in our lives so that there is this element of continuous authority that helps control and direct and influence our lives. Because how many knows if we follow our heart will eventually deceive us. So we have to have this in our lives to govern ourselves. It also means to prompt, all right? And that just simply means to be moved to action. You see, if you're a child of God and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be moved to action. Stationary children of God are confused children of God because you don't know who you are in Him. We should be moved to action. The third word, again, means this, to pervade. And it simply means to become diffused throughout every part. You see, I believe that God wants the revelation that He speaks into our lives, that we begin to understand again from His word, from His will, from those things that we encounter and experience. He wants those to begin to come into our lives and be released just as the Holy Spirit has been released in our lives to dwell and to usher forth, bring forth that power in our lives. So we need revelation. We need a release of that revelation in our lives. And when we have that revelation released in our lives, what that will begin to produce as we constantly use our faith is it will produce relationship. Everybody say relationship. It says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what the very what every Holy One experiences, that great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. A lot of us are full of a lot of things. We won't make that list this morning from the platform. But if I'm going to be known to be full of anything, I want to be known to be full of God. I want to be known to be full of love and mercy, amen? I want to be known to be filled with those very same characteristics and attributes of my Heavenly Father. You see, what we begin to understand in this is that when revelation begins to be spoken into our lives and we don't just hear it, but we receive it and then we apply it, things are going to begin to be released in our lives. And as those things are released, what we're building is an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son who gave His life by the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. Amen. You see, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus, the Anointed One. Everybody say fellowship. You see, that word fellowship in the Greek is the word koinonia. And basically it means to have a relationship where there is constant communion and intimacy. It's not like, oh yeah, I heard about Jesus. Oh yeah, I heard about the Bible. No, it describes a fellowship. It describes a relationship that the communion is constant. And not only is it constant, but it is intimate. You know Him and He knows you. And it's not something that's shakable. How many believe this morning your faith is unshakable? How many knows it can be if we're in constant communion with Him through the power of His word, through the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, this word denotes that we are partakers in common of the same mind as God and Christ, and of every blessing that arises from that relationship. You see, I don't know about you this morning, but I need revelation in my life because I need things to be released in my life so that my relationship with my Heavenly Father can increase and it can grow and it can gain, and I can yield things that are good for my own personal spiritual maturity and growth, but also that I may be able to help better love and serve those who are around me and are in need of those very same things. Amen. You see, we need to understand that when we begin to step into that element of relationship, the word declares here in Ephesians chapter 3 and 17, it says that we become, or this relationship becomes, the resting place of His love, and it becomes the very source and root of our life. That means it's not about what we can produce, because it means we're attached to something greater than ourselves. It means we're attached to Him. It means we're connected in a way, again, that goes beyond just the subsurface, superficial relationship, because it says we're rooted. We're tapped into everything that He is. We're grounded in His love. How many this morning can say, I'm grounded in His love? You see, revelation will produce or bring a release in our lives, and that release will bring relationship, and that relationship then puts everything in perspective so that we better understand our resources. Everybody say resources. Verse 20 again says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. Everybody say all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we're in a place, in a position, because of revelation, because of release, because of relationship, that now we can begin to experience the resources. And He is our resource this morning, amen? It is God's power at work in us. It's not what we can do. It's not what we can produce. It's not how good we are, how bad we are, or any of those scenarios. It's not how gifted or talented we may be. It's all about the power of God that works in us, amen? And so if we have submitted ourselves to that position of obtaining revelation because we're praying for it, we're asking, we're seeking for it, those things I do believe will come and they will be released in our lives. And as they are released in our lives, our relationship with God, it won't feel weird. It won't feel awkward. It won't feel strange. There will become this closeness, this intimacy that you begin to acquire. And right now, maybe some of you are thinking, that seems really weird. How can I have a close communion, a close intimacy with this God that I cannot tangibly see? Can I tell you that you can't see Him, but He lives in you this morning? You can't see Him, but He has placed a measure of faith inside of you. Amen? You can't see Him this morning, but I guarantee you He's fighting for you this morning. You can't see Him, but He has words to speak into your life to transform you and to change you this morning. The word says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight, correct? Because how many knows once it is in sight, we don't seek it anymore. You see, if He showed up in a tangible form every single day, and I'm not saying He can't. I'm not saying that God cannot show up in a tangible form. But if He was to show up in a tangible form and visit with us every day, how many knows at first that would be really awesome, and then human nature would set in and we would become complacent with that form of relationship. So He chooses to remain hidden but not distant. How many knows the word says He's as close as our breath? You see, and He's as close as our breath because He is our breath. We breathe Him in, we breathe Him out. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you and I this morning, amen? You see, He becomes our resource. That phrase or word, He is able, that we find again in the King James Version, it means power by virtue of one's own ability and resources. It means inherent power, power residing by virtue of one's own nature. How many of us this morning, God is omnipotent, He is omniscient, He's omnipresent. He is all powerful this morning, amen? And he is unlimited within his resources. God does not have to seek out power and resources. He's not going, man, where am I going to get this from? He has no worry of that because all he has to do is speak. You see, he is unlimited in that regard. He is by nature powerful and resourceful all on his own. He doesn't have to have the aid of another God. He doesn't have to have the aid of another country. Can I tell you that he doesn't even need us this morning? Not to do what he needs to do. You see, but yet he has chosen to give us revelation if we'll ask for it. He has chosen for that revelation to be released in our lives if we will seek it. He's chosen for us to have relationship for him if we will just seek after him. He's chosen for all of his resources to be poured into our lives and be distributed to this world, but we have to be in him. You see, it's not a matter of who we are. It's a matter of who he is and what he has. You see, and the truth of the matter is that same power, that same element of resource is at work in us and is able to do the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. And we wonder, well, why am I not experiencing that? When was the last time you went to his word and prayed for revelation? But I read my devotionals all last week. Wait, gold star for you. You see, but are you praying and asking for revelation? And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record this morning. I was telling Wade before service, he was asking if I was ready, and I said, I'm ready. I said, I wanted more, and God said, no, speak this. You see, it's time for his people to once again have an appetite and a craving for revelation. Because without the word in our lives, how many know we're going to perish? You see, this morning we have a choice. We can seek revelation. We can then allow that to be released in our lives and produce, again, a relationship that is unbelievable, unthinkable, with resources that are unlimited. Or we can just remain in our constant state of stagnation. And I'm not saying you won't make it to heaven, but I'm saying you ain't gonna have a lot of fun till you get there. If you would stand to your feet this morning. We need to pray for revelation. We need to allow it to be released in our lives. We need to allow that release to cause us to experience a greater, more intimate relationship so that we better know and understand the resources that are available to us as children of God. But you see, there's one verse left in there, and we can't ignore that verse either. And if we go and we read verses 21, again, we see that word now. Because of everything that precedes this, now, in this moment, now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Because I understand what revelation and release and relationship and these resources will bring to my life, God, right now I'm going to choose to give you the glory. When we give him glory, what we're doing is we are acknowledging that God knows all things and that he has shown himself faithful. It's saying not only do we believe it by confession, but God, we're going to go ahead and right now, even though maybe it hasn't been made manifest in this moment, despite the fact that maybe it hasn't been made manifest, despite the fact that maybe in this moment I'm really not feeling that whole, you know, the power is at work in me, I'm still going to give you glory and praise for everything that I know you have made available to me. And I'm believing that in time it will come, it will be produced. And as I wait on you, I'm going to share the truth of who you are with other people. You see, we wanna negotiate our service to the Lord. If you've surrendered your heart to Christ, there is no negation. There is no negotiation. He paid full price for you. He gave everything that he was for your freedom today. There is no negotiation. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And because we have been bought with a price, there should be something inside of us that says, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, I love you, I love you. So I will serve you, I will serve you, I will serve you. It doesn't matter where we are in the midst of life's pain and trouble, because it comes, it doesn't cease to exist when we surrender our heart to Christ. Life still happens, cars still break down, bones are still broken, hearts are still broken, marriages still have issues, children still get under your skin and irritate the living mess out of you. All of those natural things of life still happen, but none of those natural things of life take away the fact that he deserves all the glory. This morning, we're all in a different spot. My first question to you this morning would be, are you praying for revelation on a daily basis? Are you praying for revelation on a daily basis? Because if you're not, stop saying that God's not moving in your life. Are you praying for revelation? And if you're praying for revelation, when he's bringing it to your life, are you allowing it to be released in your life? Or are you saying, I don't know that I can do that quite yet. Lord, that makes me a little uncomfortable. I'm gonna Jesus juke y'all this morning. How many knows the cross was uncomfortable? You see, are you praying not only for release, but are you praying to where your relationship becomes more intimate? How many knows the best way to get to know somebody is to talk with them? Oh, but he don't talk back. Oh, but he does. His spirit will speak to you. And we have to remember that he has already written us a wonderful manual of instruction, a beautiful love letter that explains his characteristics and his nature, his attributes, his desires, his plans for us, for this moment and for all of eternity. You see, this morning we have to make a choice. If we really want to live in that exceeding abundantly above, if we really want to experience the power of God at work in us, then we need to make sure those other things are in place. And then when it's all said and done, we need to make sure that we're still giving God the glory that he so richly deserves. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. Father, I thank you that you have made a way for us to not just have a nice scripture to read, but God, you have given us an avenue to truly experience the exceeding abundantly above. God, that you've given us a way that, Lord, those things that are unthinkable, unbelievable, even seemingly undreamable, God, when we seek you first and allow your power to work in us, that God, those things can come to fruition. Father, I pray that if on a daily basis we're not seeking your word for true revelation, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us in such a way that we are driven to your word. God, that we would have that spiritual craving, if you will, God, to have revelation, knowledge of what you desire. God, I pray that as we seek that there would be a release that, again, produces a more intimate relationship. Because, God, when that happens, I understand then that we're more able, God, to acknowledge, to apply, to receive those resources that you are to us. Father, never let us forget to give you the praise for it all. Christ's name I pray. Psalms 34 and 1 says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not I will bless the Lord sometimes. I will bless the Lord often. I will bless him on a, quote, regular basis. But he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means in all things, through all seasons, his praise will continually be on my lips.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.